Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome to today's Daf, which is Pesachim Mitzadik Dalad. Five lines from the top of the Amud is where we begin. We learned yesterday that one who finds himself b'derech rechoka, at a distance from Yerushalayim, he is potter from the Pesach. What is considered derech rechoka? According to the first Tana, Rabbi Kiva, the cutoff point is Moedim. If it's beyond Moedim, which the Gemara tells us is 15 mil outside Yerushalayim, that's called Derech Chayka, because if this is during Chatzos, which is the initiation of the Zman Shechita, if he's that far, he will no longer be able to arrive in the Azara in time to participate, because it takes that long to get back. He'll only make it back in time for nightfall, which is already past the Zman of Akrova. Says the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, Hayo'imet Chutz L'Madim. Perhaps the fellow was outside Medim, but he can use the express route to get back. V'yochel ikonis, he can make it back in time, besusim, upredim, by jumping on a horse or a mule, yochel yechaya, perhaps that obligates him. Tamad loyma ubederech lehoya. One is only held accountable if he was not on a road. V'alo heyo yubederech, this fellow was, at a distant location. What about in the reverse? Hayo imed lifnim minamidim. If this individual is situated within the Moedim range, within 15 mil of Yerushalayim, so he's close enough, but he ran into a traffic jam. There are gmalim, camels, and kroines, wagons, getting in the way. He's going up to Yerushalayim with his family, and he got stuck on the road. Perhaps he is not chayiv. Talmud loyma ubederech lehoya. The only time he's potter is if he was not on the road. Varei lehoya ubederech. This fellow wasn't at a distant location. He was within striking range of Yerushalayim. He should have jumped off and ran into Yerushalayim and let his family follow behind, or send somebody to do his carbon for him. So the key determinant is location. If it is in a distant location, beyond Moedim, then he's potter, regardless of whether or not he could have figured a way to get back on time. But if he's within close proximity, that's not called Bederech, despite the fact that he encountered some difficulty arriving in Yerushalayim. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav. Now the Maral explains, although we find many times the Chachamim have discussions regarding various aspects of physical phenomena, celestial bodies, mazolis, stars, concepts relating to astronomy, says the Maral, certainly the Chachamim were imbued with vast amount of scientific knowledge. Everything we know today, they certainly knew then. You know, in fact, there's a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, and everyone thinks that this discovery that the earth is round, was a relatively recent discovery. Tosfos not with the Zohar, that Mem Beis already brings a medrash that the world is round. Chacham knew everything. Says the Maral, but although we find discussions about these things, it's not that their primary interest was to delve into the science of nature, the physical matter. Rather, their primary focus was really on the spiritual reality, the hidden realm, the hidden dimension that lies behind and beyond and forms and serves as the basis for all physical phenomena of this Bria. Therefore, says the Maral, for instance, in the upcoming Gemara, we're going to have discussions relating to astronomy, he really has a whole pshat, a metaphysical pshat, because he says there are a lot of secrets and soides hidden behind the words and between the lines, which of course is beyond the realm of our shir here. So he says, really, these things represent deeper things, and the words, the presentation of the Chachamim, were deliberately, the concepts were deliberately obscured and hidden behind the words. In fact, sometimes you find things which seem cryptic and perhaps even seem to contradict the currently held scientific positions of today. But not to worry, these descriptions, which of course we learn, you know, based on their alfi pshutei, with their simple meaning, but they certainly represent deeper concepts, soidos, that describe the true essence of the Bria Sa'ilam and the world that we live in, the spiritual realities and the hidden dimension that's hidden from our eyes. Okay, having said that, let's proceed. We're going to learn Kipshutai, the simple meaning of the words as presented in our Gemara. And of course, you have to remember, when the Gemara presents concepts, for instance, relating to astronomy, it's with respect to the observer's perspective, the way things are visualized by the observer. So it's all relative. The way we see things, that's the way the Chacham described it. Although in their true reality, perhaps they should be described differently, we're speaking relative to the way an observer down here on Earth sees things. Amar Rav, Shita Alfei Parsi Avi Alma. The distance, the entire journey, let's say, of the sun throughout a given day, encompasses 6,000 parsa. Parsa, we learned yesterday, is 4 mil. A parsa is about 2 miles, roughly 2 miles. 6,000 parsa is the complete circuit, the journey, that the sun will travel throughout the day, from morning to night. The simcha de rakia alpha parsi, the thickness of the firmament of the rakia of the atmosphere itself, is 1,000 parsa. So in proportion to the entire world, it's equal to a sixth of the world. Chad de Gemara, one of these two things, is Gemara, meaning a tradition that Rava was makabel from his Rebbe, that the world is 6,000 parsa. V'chad ha-svara, the second item on the list, that the rakia is 1,000, that was his own svara. How did he get to that? Savar lo ki ha d'amar rabba bar b'chan amar b'yechanan. This is what we learned yesterday. The statement, the name of Yechanan, which is, kama mahalach adam b'yini b'yayim. Kama mahalach adam b'yini b'yayim. How far does an average person walk throughout one day? Yud parsois. An average person walks a distance of 10 parsa per day. So that's all the way from the very first moment, the Alois HaShachar, dawn, all the way up until through Neitzacham, a sunrise throughout the day, through Shkia, sunset, all the way to Tzeisak Echavim, absolute darkness. So in total, we have 40 parsois. 10 parsois, which is 40 mil. Ma'alois HaShachar, Ve'ad HaNeitzacham, Hey Milen. As we mentioned yesterday, this 10 parsa, which is 40 mil, gets split into various sections. From Alisa Shachar until Nitzah Chama, you have 5 mil. Then you have 30 throughout the actual daytime. Then you have Mishkiah Zachama, Atzeisa Kechavim, 5 mil. From Shkiah till Tzeisa Kechavim, another 5 mil, which gives you a total of 40 mil. Based on this, we know the thickness of the Rakia. Nimtza oivi shel rakia echad mishisha b'yayim. Look, if throughout the entire daytime period, we have a distance of a share of 30 mil. One could walk 30 mil through daytime, and he could travel 5 mil through this period of dawn till sunrise. Alisa shachar tanetzachama. The Gemara here is working with the concept that the sun has to break through the rakia to be visible to us. So it takes five, it's a distance of 5 mil, a share of 5 mil to break through the rakia. In proportion to the 30 mil of daytime, 5 to 30 is, it equals the value of a sixth of the daytime share. That's how we conclude that the rakia, the thickness of the rakia, is equal to a sixth of the entire day. And when we're speaking about distance and size, so apparently it equals a sixth of the world itself. So getting back to Rava, we have two concepts: the world is 6,000 parsa, and the rakia 1,000. the value of the Rukia is equal to a sixth of the world. May's favor of a kash on this. Rida Omer, Zabraisa, Rida says, Oyvichu Rukia echad masor b'yayim. It's equal to a tenth of the day. Teda, what's the proof? Kama mahalech odam beinu b'yayim. How far can a person walk during a given day? As a prasois, 10 paras, which is 40 mil. Umaylois ha-shach adenis ha-cham, arba as-milin. From alois until nades, you have 4 mil. Mishkia sa-chama ba-tesek ha-chavim, arba as-milin. Likewise, from shkia until tesek ha-chavim, you have 4 mil. Leaving you how much for the actual daylight period? 32. Right, we began with 40, we deducted 4 for the first section, 4 for the last section, leaving us 32 for the middle. Nimtzis, av yishol rukia, echad masor b'yayim. If so, the size of the rukia is equal in value to a tenth of the entire day. Now we speak about comparing the rukia to the day, here it's a bit different than rabba. Here we're doing it in proportion to the entire, to the complete day, all the way from the very beginning, from Alois HaShachar through Neitz HaChama, throughout the daylight period, all the way to the Shkia, to the Tzetzet Kachav, which is a total of 40 mil. So the 4 mil that encompasses the period of Alois HaShachar to Neitz HaChama is equal to a tenth of the total volume, the total amount. Rava, however, was speaking in comparison to the share of the actual day. The actual day, according to Rava, was 30. Right? The total number was 40. From Alois HaShachar through Nates, through daytime period, Shkia, to Tzetzet Kachav, you have 40. According to Rava, it was 5 mil from Alois HaShachar to Neitz HaChama. And comparing it in proportion to the daylight period, which is merely 30, right, you began 40, deducted 5 and 5, you have 30 in the middle. So the 5 in the beginning, in proportion to the 30 midsection, it equals a sixth. Rabbi Yehuda is speaking a bit differently. He's speaking in comparison to the entire number, in totality, which is 40. So 4. According to him, it was only 4, not 5, between Alois and Nates. 4, in proportion to 40, is a tenth. Okay, so that's how we get around this great disparity between a sixth and a tenth. But there's still a discrepancy. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first section of the day is only 4 mil. And the midsection was 32. We begin with 40. Deduct 4 for the beginning, Alois to Nates, 4 for the end, Shkia Sachama to Tzeis, leaving you with 32 in the middle. If that's the case, 4 is going to be compared to the midsection of 32. So in proportion to 32, 4 equals a value of an eighth. In contrast with Rava, who tells us that it's 5 versus 30, which is a sixth. Therefore, Rava concluded the Rukia must be one parsa in size, in thickness. Because if the world is 6,000, and the Rukia equals a value of a sixth, is equal to a sixth of the entire world. If the world is 6, the Rukia is 1. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is working with a proportion of 1/8. Because according to him, again, we began with 40. We only deducted 4 for the first section, from Alois till Nates, 4 for the last section, Shkia till Tzeis, leaving the midsection, the main part of the day, with a share of 32 mil. That's how much a person could walk throughout the day, 32 mil. And the time it takes for the sun to get to the Rukia is only 4. 4 in proportion to 32 is an eighth. It's equal to an eighth of 32. And according to Rava, the Rukia is equal to a sixth of the entire area of the world. Tuyufta the Rava to Yufta. Indeed, this is a refutation of Rava. The Ula to Yufta. It's also a refutation on Ula. We had this yesterday. Ula was following the same formula. That in totality we have 40 mil. From Alois till Nates, we have 5. And this Brisa clearly contradicts that. Says in perhaps this would be a kasha on Biyechan as well. Who's the originator of this formula? Rabbi Bachana, the name of Yechanan. How much can a person walk throughout the day? 10 paras of 40 mil. And the Gemara says, well, 5 mil is between Alois and Nates. And this clearly contradicts the Brisa, which tells us that there's only a shear of 4 mil between Alois HaShachar and Nates HaCham. Amalach Rabbi Yechanan will respond, no, it's no kasha me. Anobi Mamu de Amri. When I said that there is 40 mil from the beginning to end of a day, I was referring to the very beginning, from the very beginning to the very end. I didn't say that between Alois Hashach and Eitz Hacham there's 5 mil. I certainly agree with the Brisa that there's only 4 mil. When the Chachamim presented my statement, they misunderstood. Rabbanon hu dekato, they made a mistake. They thought they went to deduct from that 40, went to deduct 5 to account for the time between Alois HaShach and Eitz HaCham, and likewise between Shkia and Tzeis. They thought it was 5, it's really 4. How did they get to 5? The Kachashvan, the Kadma v'Chashecha. They noticed travelers who set out early in the morning. And by the time Eitz HaCham arrived, sunrise arrived, they had traveled already 5 mil. Oh, apparently, between Alois HaShach and Eitz HaCham, it's a 5 mil segment. It's not true. Because this fellow set out earlier. Way before Alois HaShach. He traveled 1 mil before Alois HaShach. And that's how he got to 5 mil by the time Eitz HaCham arrived. The Kochash from the Kadma, they discussed and they calculated. Those fellows who advanced, they began early. The Chashechan, the fellow who delayed, stayed out until past Tzeitz HaKochav. So sure, he traveled 5 mil between Shkia Sachama and his final destination, which was a mil past Tzeitz HaKochav. But in reality, those two sections, again, we're speaking about between Alois HaShachar and Eitz HaCham, or between Shkia Sachama and Tzeitz HaKochav, really only encompass 4 mil. Exactly as described in this price. Lema tabat yuftu Rabbi Chanina. Perhaps it's a kasha Rabbi Chanina as well, who told us that the distance between, the time distance between Alois HaShachar and Eitz HaCham is 5 mil, as we see by the Malachim who rushed late out of Stoim. They began at Alois HaShachar, and by the time Eitz HaCham arrived, he was already in Soyar, and Rabbi Chanina tells us, I took a look at that area, and it's a journey of 5 mil. Apparently, between Alois and Nates, you have 5 mil. It says, Malloy, by Itzu Shiny. When a person is rushed, he covers more ground. He can pack in 5 mil in that short time. But generally speaking, a typical walker will only cover 4 mil between Alois HaShach and Eitz HaCham. Toshma, let's bring another kasha on Rava. Rava was one who told us that Shita Alfi Parsi of Alma, the world only encompasses 6,000 parsa. We have a kasha from Bryce. Mitzrayim hoya arba meis parsa, al arba meis parsa. Eretz Mitzrayim encompassed an area of 400 by 400 parsa. Wait, that's only Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim echad meshishim b'kush. It's only a 60th of the land kush. V'kush echad meshishim b'olam, which is a 60th of the entire world. So the world is 60 times 60 times Mitzrayim, which is 400 by 400 parsa, which is way more than 6,000 parsa. So we already have a kasha on Rava. The Brisa continues, V'olam echad meshishim began. Entire world is merely a 60th of Gan. V'gan echad meshishim be'eden, which is a 60th of Eden. V'eden echad meshishim be'gehenem, a 60th of Gehenem. Nimtza kol olam kulei, being that Gehenem is so vast, the entire world is negligible when it comes to comparison to Gehenem. Kekisi kedera le'gehenem. It's like comparing the pot cover to the pot. It's negligible. That's how the world compares in size to Gehenem. In any case, we see that the world is much larger than 6,000 paras, it's yufta. Indeed, this is a kasha on Rav. Toshma, let's bring a raya from this brisa as well. The Tanit Ve'Eliyo, Rabbi Nosson Leimer, Kol Yishuv Kula, the entire civilization, Tachas Koichav Echad Yishuv, resides and sits under merely one star. Teda, the proof is, Shari Adam Noisen Eina Bekoichav Echad. When a person sets his sights on a specific star, Hoylech LaMizrach, Eimet Kenegda, he walks towards the east, there's a star right opposite him. La'ab Ruchas Oilam, whichever direction he'll choose to go, Oymit Kenegda, there's a star right there. Mechlal Nechalal Yishev Kuloi Tachas Koichav Echad Yishev. Apparently, entire civilization is set underneath one star, and therefore he always sees that same star. Now, as Rashi points out, civilization is definitely pretty big. Covers a great area, a large area of at least 1,000 parsa. Now, if that's situated merely beneath only one star, and if Rava was correct that the entire world is merely 6,000 parsa, then all we should see is six stars, which will cover the entire gamut of civilization of the oilam. Apparently, the world is greater than 6,000 parsa. Tuyufta, indeed, we have a refutation. Toshma, another right. Egla b'tzafan, these are constellations. Mazolis, Egla is Taurus. That's usually in the north. V'akrav v'dorim, that's in the south. V'kala yishev kuloi einu yishev ela bein egla l'akrav, entire civilization is situated between these two mazolis. Continues the Braisa. V'kala yishev kuloi einu hoive ela sha'achas v'yayim. How large is yishev, is civilization? It's only 1 hour of the day. What does that mean? It takes 1 hour, merely 1 hour for the sun to make its way through the yishuv. She'en chama nechneses liyishuv al shachas b'yayim. We find that the sun only comes to visit the entire yishuv for 1 hour. It takes 1 hour for him to get through the entire area. Teda, the proof is, she'bachamish, fifth hour of the day, at 11 o'clock in the morning, where's the sun? Chama b'mizrach, it's in the east. Uvesheva, 2 hours later, where's the sun? Chama b'marav. So, hadn't yet entered civilization or left civilization. When is it actually here? Chatzis sheish v'chatzis sheva. From 11:30 up until 12:30. Cham oimedes b'rosh kol adam. That's when the sun is directly overhead. So he's around for merely 1 hour. Where is he the rest of the day? The other 11 hours. Apparently the world is much greater, much larger than just Yishuv. As she says, Dormit barais and yamim. Or as others explain, we have the vast expanse of the space. In any case, the Olam must be way bigger than 6,000 parsa, because if Yishuv, as we see it, is definitely at least 1,000 parsa, and is merely 1/12, it accounts for merely 1/12 of the sun's orbit, then the world must certainly be bigger than 6,000 parsa. Tuyufta, there's another kasha on Rava. Now, incidentally, just take a time out for a second. There's some halachic ramifications to the discussion in the Gemara. We said that the oivi of the rakia between shkia, sachama, nitz, and tzeisek chavim, we have 4 mil. Now, Tosfos asks a kasha from a Gemara Shabbos, which tells us that the time between Shkia Sachama and actual nightfall is merely 3/4 of a mil. And here we have 4 mil. How do we work this out? So there are a couple of pshatim. One pshat would be that when we speak about 4 mil, we don't mean up until the simple tzeitzei kechavim. We mean beyond the simple meaning of tzeitzei kechavim, real darkness, real nightfall. But halachically, tzeitzei kechavim really arrives 3/4 of a mil after shkia. Tosfos brings another pshat, name of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said a chiddush like this. He said there are really two types of shkia. There's a simple meaning of shkia when the sun sets, when the actual sun sets beyond the horizon. And that's what the Gemara here is referring to. Mishkiya Sachama, up until Tzeitzit Chacham, we have 4 mil. When the Gemara Shabbos, however, speaks about a shorter time span of 3/4 of a mil between Shkiya Sacham and Tzeitzit Chacham, it was referring to the Shkiya, the setting of the aura, of the light of the sun, which is way past the actual sunset. It's actually 3.25 mil beyond the sunset, what we refer to as sunset today. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the first Shkia is what's discussed here, when the actual sun, the body of sun, sets beyond the horizon. Then begins the first Shkia. You count 1 mil, another mil, another mil, and another quarter. At that point, the actual light, the remnants of the Oyer HaShemesh has completely disappeared. And that is the Shkia Sachama discussed in Gemara Shabbos. That's the finalization of the Shkia. At that point begins Ben HaShemeshes. And Trutzei Sakhavim only arrives 3/4 of a mil later, which is really a total of 4 mil from when the actual sun dipped beyond the horizon. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to wait 4 mil from the dipping of the sun to get to Tzeitzit Chacham. A mil, we'll assume, is 18 minutes. 4 times 18 is 72 minutes. That's how we get Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. That Tzeitzit Chacham is 72 minutes after Shkia Sacham. Now, incidentally, when we speak about a mil having 18 minutes, that's also not so simple. And it actually has a Pesach application, because we learned earlier that once you've passed a shear mil, the dough is a mil old, then we have to be choshesh for chimutz. That's how we get the number 18 minutes to the 18-minute matzahs. That's a shear mil discussed in the Gemara. But the question is a mil really 18 minutes? Or perhaps longer than 18, 22 and a half? It's a machlekes. What is it based on? Our Gemara. We learned that the shear of a day is 40 mil. As long as it takes a typical person to travel a distance of 40 mil. Now the Shiloh is, when we speak about 40, is this a reference to the entire period, beginning from the very first moment of Alois HaShachar, through Neitzachama, through daytime, over to Shkia, to Tzeitzit Chacham, which really leaves the midsection, which is the main portion of the day between sunrise and sunset, which has the 12 hours, which leaves us with only 32 mil. If they deduct 4 for the first section, 4 for the last section, leaving only 32 mil for the midsection, and that's split into 12 hours, 12 times 60, and you take that and divide into 32, leaves you with actually 22 and a half minutes per mil. So it's really longer than 18 minutes. How do we get to 18 minutes? Because if we take the 40 mil and apply it only to that midsection, when the Gemara says a day is 40, it meant from sunrise to sunset. Didn't account for the first two and last sections. 40 mil from sunrise to sunset, so you take 12 hours times by 60 and take the total amount of minutes, split it by 40, gives you 18 minutes per mil. And that's how we're machmir today. When it comes to matzahs, we're makpid not to wait 18 minutes. Okay, continues the Gemara, getting back to Rava, who tells us that the Rakia is 1,000 parsa in thickness. Toshma de Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Matshuva hashivosei baskoi loisei rosha. How did the baskel respond to Nebuchadnezzar? B'sho sha'omar el al bomsei ov, I'll go up to the heights of the cloud, and Amalei Elio, and compare to Hashem. Yotze baskel v'amalei. Rosh ben Rosh, what do you think? Ben b'nei shalim Nimrod HaRosh, descendant of Nimrod, shehimrid es kolon kuloi, olai b'malchusai, during his reign, he led the whole world to rebel against me. Look, you have a forefather who set the tone. You're following in his footsteps. What kind of business is this? What do you think? You're going to go up there and equate yourself to Hashem? How long can a person live already? Shivim Shana. The Megvurah, so he pushes it, Shmoinim Shana, 80 years. Shanema, Yehimei Shnei Seinabem Shivim Shana. The Megvurah, Shmoinim Shana. So at most, a person lives typically 80 years. You can't get up there in such a short time span. Min ha'aretz ad l'rakia, ma'alah chamesh meis l'shana. To get from the Eretz just to the Rakia would take a person 500 years. Va'oyvi shol Rakia. And to get through the thickness of the Rakia itself is another mahalach heimei shana, another 500 years. And there's a girsa v'chein kol Rakia v'Rakia. The same thing regarding every Rakia, there are seven Rakiim. Each one is mahalach heimei shana. V'chein bein kol Rakia v'Rakia. Same distance between each Rakia. Look how far he has to travel to get up there. What are you thinking? Ach, el sh'oil turad, you'll be taken down to the depths. El yakis ebor, to the depths of the pit. To yofta, the zakash on Rabbah. How's the zakash on Rabbah? Explains Rashi, based on the Gemara Chagiga, we learn from a pasuk that the size of the world, the width of the world, is equal to the height, to the distance between the Eretz and the Rakia. If the distance between Eretz and Rakia is a trip of 500 years, and likewise the width of the actual Olam, 500 years worth. Let's calculate. Person can walk 10 parsecs a day. Multiply that by 500 years. You get a lot more than just 6,000 parsecs. There's a stira on Rava who set the limit at 6,000 parsecs. It's yufta. Tanur Rabbanon, we have two machlekes between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umas Olam. Regarding matters of astronomy, Tana Rabbanu Chachmi Yisrael Oimrim Galgal Kavua Umazolis Chozrin. The heavenly celestial spheres are Kavua; they're set in place. But the Mazolis, the constellations, move around slightly. Now we know that the sun travels eastward in its annual revolution orbit. How does it work? Is it the sun moving around, or relative to the stars, or in the reverse? The stars relative to the sun. Chacham Yisrael maintain, the sun is on the move. The galgal kavua, the sphere where the sun, where the star, in which the stars are set, remains intact in place. It's the sun that moves around. Umazoles chayz, umazoles slightly move, and Rashi says they somehow manipulate the sun, they move the sun around. Due to their slight movement, the sun proceeds on its orbit, and they go back to their place, so they're set in place. But the Chachmei Umas Olam say, Galgal Chozer Umazoles Kavun. It's the Galgal, it's the sphere that moves around, but the star is actually set in place. So it would seem from this that the stars with their sphere is the one that's actually moving relative to the sun. Omar Rebbe, Tshuva L'Devrayim, we have a response, a challenge to their position. Look, Ma'ilu L'Metzinu, Egle B'Dorim, V'Akar B'Tzofen. According to them, that the sphere which contains the constellations and the stars is the one moving around, why don't the constellations relocate? We learned earlier the Egla is generally Betzafin in the north, and the Akar Bedarim. Well, if they're revolving, then we should sometimes find it in the reverse. Egla should be Bedarim, down the south, and the Akar Betzafin. Maskler of Achabar Yaakov. Maybe we could say like this. The Chachmei Umos Ha'Olam meant that there are actually two separate systems, two separate spheres. One which contains the stars, one which contains the sun. And when they speak about the Galgal Chozer, it was referring to the sun's Galgal, the sun's wheel, which revolves. So you have two independent spheres, which don't affect each other. Perhaps the Galgal, the wheel holding the stars, remains in place. And the Galgal, housing the sun, is the one that makes its revolution. Therefore, you never find the constellations out of place. V'dilma kubaitzina derechai, perhaps compared to a rod set in the middle of the millstone, the grinder. Rashi explains that millstone could revolve, leaving the rod in place, and the rod can revolve, leaving the millstone in place. Two things can move independent of each other. Inami kitzinoyer de dasha, or like a hinge in a door. The door can remain in place, and the hinge can revolve. The hinge can remain in place, and the door can revolve. Therefore, although the sun is making its revolution, it's in its own system, its own sphere, but doesn't affect the position of the constellations. Another machlekes we had, Chachmi Yisrael Oimrin, Bayoim Chama Maleches L'mata Min Arkia. During daytime, the sun travels beneath the Rukia, and that's where we see it. Ubalayla, however, L'mata Min Arkia. It rises beyond the Rukia, and it's obscured by the Rukia. Chachmi Umas Oilam Oimrin, they say, Bayoim Chama Maleches L'mata Min Arkia. During daytime, the sun travels beneath the Rukia, and it's visible to us. Ubalayla L'mata Min Arkia. At night, it travels underneath the earth, on the other side of the earth, till it makes its way around and comes back in the morning. Amar Rebbe, v'nirin dvareim dvareinu. In contrast to the first machlekes, where Rebbe challenged them, here he says, you know, their approach seems more plausible. This is an expression of intellectual honesty. Nirin dvareim dvareinu. Why? Shebayoyim mayonis tzoninin. By daytime, we find that the springs are cold because the sun is hovering above and is at a distance from the springs which are embedded beneath in the ground. Ubalayla roischan, however, the springs during nighttime are heated up. Apparently they're being heated up due to the sun's rays which are beating at them from the other side of the earth. Tanya v'nasnoimer, and in fact, there is a halachic application to this halacha. We're going to see soon in the Gemara. Tanya b'nas noimer. B'maisa chama, during the summertime, chama ma'alechas b'goiva shel rakia. The sun travels up high. L'ficha kol ha'olam kulo riseach. That's why we have heat. U'mayon ha'soinin. However, the springs embedded beneath the ground are cold because they're not affected by the sun, which is actually very far from them. However, during winter time, just the opposite. The sun travels low on the horizon. That's why we have cold, because the sun's rays only arrive to us indirectly. However, the in-ground springs are heated up because they get direct heat from the sun, which beats down directly at the edge of the earth. Now, it's interesting. There's an afkemina l'halacha regarding Pesach again. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, for matzah, we're meant to use maim shalonu. Shalonu means that it was out, taken out and left to stay out of the earth overnight. Why? The reason was because of this concern. Since we're speaking about springtime, where the sun is still beating down more directly on the actual edge of the earth than on the civilization, in which case the bayonis in the ground will somewhat get warmed up by the sun, and there's a concern of it generating chimutz, which is exasperated by heat. That's why we have to have Mayim Shalonu, based on this gemara. Tanu Rabban Bar Bo Shvilin Chama Malechas. We find that there are four seasons within the year, and each one is affected differently by the sun. It's as though the sun has four roots, takes four different roots, journeys throughout the year. Nisan Ir V'Sivan, during springtime, Malechas Baharim travels through the mountains, that's where the true effect is felt, Kedei Lafasher Hashashlogin, to melt the snow. Tamuz Avel, during summertime, Malechas Vayishiv, the effect is felt in the civilization, the point is to ripen the produce. Tishrei, Marchesh, Mekislev, during fall time, Malachas Beyamim, there's a Girsa Ba'avir, Kdei Liyabish Esanhar, to dry up the rivers. Tevis, Shvat Va'adar, during winter time, Malachas Be'midbar, travels through the Midbar, Shli Liyabish Esazroim, to avoid drying up the newly sowed seeds and maintaining the crops. Okay, Let's get back to the halacha of Derech Ruchek. Rav Lezer Omer, Measkupas Hazorah V'Lechutz. So according to Rav Akiva, only a person who is actually far away, beyond Moedim, can't arrive back in the Hazorah in time for the Hakrova. He's considered out of bounds. Rav Lezer says, even if he's just merely outside the Hazorah, that is already considered Derech Ruchek. Says the Gemara, V'afagav the Motzi Ayil, even though he has full ability to come back and participate fully in the Korban Pesach, he's right outside the door. He's Potter. We don't require him to come back in. V'atanya, we learned in the Braisa, Yehudi Orel Shalemol. Yehudi, some say, was inserted by the censors. Yehudi Orel Shalemol. He was a fellow who was an Orel. Hadn't yet experienced the bris. It's Erev Pesach, and he doesn't get around to it. And because of that, he couldn't bring his carbon. Onosh Karis. He's held fully accountable. Although he can claim, well, I was an Oral, I couldn't have the Pesach. No, you should have gotten around to your local Moyel and taken care of yourself. Divir Beleza. Apparently, a person has a chiv to enable himself, to make himself available. So if he's right outside the Azara, it's not a reason to be poiter him. Amar Abaye. And of course we're speaking Rabbi Lezer over there, Rabbi Lezer over here. Seem to have inconsistency. Amar Abaye. Derech Ruchek L'Toyer, V'ein Derech Ruchek L'Tamei. When it comes to Tamei, our Torah says these two individuals are exempt. First is Tamei or Derech Ruchek. When it comes to Tamei, that's a concept on its own. Tamei is Tamei. It has nothing to do with distance. When it comes to a Toyer, the exemption is because he's a Bederech Ruchayka. He's not a participant. He's not here. He's not in the Malkim. That in itself is a reason to piter him. I'm not speaking about practicality. Sure, he can arrive. He can walk into the Azara. But if he's outside, and that's called Derech, the Torah considers him Derech Ruchayka. He's not a participant. And that is a reason for Ptur. As opposed to an Oral, who happens to find himself in the Azara, in the Makam HaKrova, he gets Karis. The fact that he's an Oral is not an exemption. Rav Amar Tanayi. Indeed, it's actually Machlekes Tanayi. We have various versions within Rabbi Lezer's Shita. We're going to have three versions of Rabbi Lezer. Again, we had Akasha, because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer seems to say that right outside the Azorah is considered Derech HaChayka, even though he has the capacity to take part. He can just come back right back in. Now we have another Rabbi Lezer says that an Earl is held accountable on the fact that he hadn't taken a milah. So apparently enabling is part of the chiyuv. Says Rabbi, it's machlokes tanoim within Rabbi Lezer. Tanoi the sani, Rabbi Lezer Omer. How do we define derech ruchayk? Nemar richuk makim pesach. We find that by pesach a reference to derech ruchayk. Venemar richuk makim masa. When it comes to masa sheni as well, we have the concept of richuk makim. Pasuk says, if yirchak mimcha hamakim, if you're out of the area, then you may be paida the maser sheni. So the concept of a richuk mokim is found in both contexts, Pesach and maser. We can compare the two things. Ma lahalan chus lachilosai. Just as by maser sheni, what does richuk mokim there mean? Asad Yerushalayim. As the Rashi brings the Mar Makis. It means outside of the place where the Masa can be eaten. Chuzlach Halasai. Right outside Yerushalayim, that is already considered Richuk Makim. Afkan, Chuzlach Halasai. Likewise, by Pesach, what is Richuk Makim mean? What does Derech Ruchayka mean? Outside the Makim Achila, outside Yerushalayim. So according to this version of Rabbi Lezer, Derech Ruchayka is outside Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Mishum Rabbi Lezer, again, the name of Rabbi Lezer, Chutz Lasiyasai, outside the Azara. The Mokim Asiyah is the Azara. If he's outside the Mokim Asiyah, he's a non-participant, that's called Derech Ruchayka. Just as by Maser Sheni, the Asiyah is the eating of the Maser, where it's tended to, it's looked after, where the mitzvah is fulfilled in Yerushalayim. Outside Yerushalayim is outside the Mokim Asiyah. Rashi calls it chutz lehechsheiroi, outside of where it's enabled for achila. And here as well, what's called chutz lasir, outside the azara. And therefore, me'askupas azara v'lechutz is called derech achik. Based on this brisa, we find two approaches in Rabbi Elazar Shita, outside Yerushalayim, or outside the azara, says Rava. Apparently, it's a third version of Rabbi Elazar, presented in the brisa with the Aral. Rabbi Elazar says, an Aral is chayv karas. He should have enabled himself for the karm. He should have had a bris milah. Says Rava, apparently, that approach in Rabbi Elazar holds that unless you're unavailable, you're not potter. Derechachik apparently means he's out of the area. He's truly situated at a distance from Yerushalayim. He's outside Medim. He can't conceivably come back in time for the Hakrava. Otherwise, if you're close by, you should quickly run and enable yourself. Participate. So we have three shitas in Rabbi Elazar. Number one, outside the Azara, Makom Asiya, outside Yerushalayim, Makom Achila, or beyond Medim, in which case it's not feasible for you to participate in the Korban Pesach. Keman Azla Hod Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, whose shita is reflected in the following statement, B'tmeim, when calculating the number of tmeim in Klal Yisrael to figure out whether we have a roi of tmeim, which will allow the Pesach to be brought b'tumah, Haleich Acharoiv Ha'indim Azara, we calculate based on the people standing in Azara. Participants, if roiv are tummy, they bring the Pesach b'tumah. Whose shita is this? Keman k'Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda. It's found in Rabbi Yosef bar Rabbi Yehuda. She'amar Shem Elazar. The opinion that we just mentioned, that merely outside the Azara is already called derech rechayk. You're a non-participant. And likewise, when you're trying to calculate the total number of tmeim, you can figure based on who's an actual participant, who's present in the Azara. Because otherwise, if you're outside the Azara, you're derech rechayk, you're not even chayv in the Korban. So apparently, it's in line with that sheet. Amar Rabbi Yosef lefichach. Rashi tells us that we find a period, a dot on top of the word, on top of the letter hey in the word rechayka. Period is meant to be memayit, to take away from the literal meaning of the word. You don't have to be far away, as long as you're just slightly at a distance, right outside the Azara. Tanya Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer Derech. The pasuk would simply say the word derech, that he has to be a derech rechayka. The Bach adds the word rechayka. The pasuk would just say derech rechayka. Shemiani, I would conclude that has to be really rechayka. Mahalach shnayim shlashiyam, it has to be 2-3 days away from Yerushalayim. Otherwise, that's not called derech rechayka. Keshu aimer. But when the pasuk says that a fellow who was tar ube derech lo yhaya, and neither was he on the road, this fellow is held accountable for failing to bring the Korban Pesach. Ubderech lahoy, he was not on the road. Magid, we conclude from here, Shemeskupas azor al-chutz, kari derech. As long as he was anywhere outside the azor, that's already called derech. You don't need derech rechayka out in some distant area, some distant, far out journey. Only somebody who was actually not bederech, but as long as he was bederech, meaning right outside Azara, it's already called Derech. He's on the way to Azara. That's already a reason to be Poterim, and he's no longer held accountable. He's Poter from Pesach. Okay, it's my Greek Hazara, today's daf. We began with Derech Rechaikah, we concluded with Derech Rechaikah, and we had some astronomy in the middle. So regarding Derech Rechaikah, we had several shittas. We had actually three shittas. One is that he needs to be really far away, beyond Medim, which, according to one pshat and the Gemara Ula, he can't arrive in time for the Shechitas HaPesach. We're speaking that during Chatzos, at the point of Middah, he was outside Medim. He can no longer arrive in time for the Asiyah. That was Ula's approach. Rabbi Yehuda's approach was, he can no longer arrive in time for the Achila. So this fellow is situated at a great distance from Yerushalayim, beyond Medim. we had another pshat, another shita, outside the Makim Achila, outside Yerushalayim, and finally, outside the Askupas Azara, that is enough. And the Gemara also told us that this shear of Medir Malachutz, this shear of distance, is really based strictly on distance. That is the sole criterion. For instance, if a person is beyond Medir, but can somehow make his way back quickly through the Susim and the Pratim, he's Potter. Likewise, if a person is close by, right outside Yerushalayim, but he ran into traffic, he should hurry up, make his way back to Yerushalayim, because if you're close by, you don't have the tour of Derech Ruchik. Hatzlacha Rabban, all the best.